Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to St. Andrew's, to Abbotsford Anglican Church. And for those who are listening in, we're very mindful of you, though you can't be with us today. We look forward to you being with us one day soon. So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Just turn to the people around about you and your family at home. Don't get up, don't move around, just wave, say the Lord be with you. If you're able to stay after the church service for some morning tea, please do so. Today is the Lord's Supper, and if you've not picked up one of these on the way in, Tina's just coming around now to hand the tray around. Please take one of these. Just have a little idea of knowing how to undo these. The top layer comes off during the service, and it shows the wafer, and then the next layer you take off and it has the juice underneath. So when it comes to our time of remembering the Lord and his great love for us and the love we ought to have in the Lord's Supper, please just be ready to do that. I'm so glad that none of you came in your pyjamas today, as I'm sure some of us may well have listened to church the last 4 months in something less more formal or more casual. Let me begin by just reminding us that today, Linda, could you just press the next one? Today we start a new little sermon series, an Advent sermon series, through the Gospel of Luke. And we're being reminded that God always keeps his promises, and that the series is one that we might be certain of the things that we have been taught. So, and our mission focus for November has been, next slide, has been on Anglicare's Toys and Tucker. And thank you for those who have been giving towards that online. Our mission for focus and chaplaincy has been on the work of Defence Force chaplains, being around November and Remembrance Day. Well, let me begin by reminding us of a sentence of Scripture, Psalm 122, verse 1. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In fact, I'm going to get you all to stand now with our masks on. We can use them off at the front here. But let's say this psalm together. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Well, for the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your prosperity. Well, let's stand and remain standing and sing our first hymn, our first song, Rejoice, the Lord is King. And we can do that through our mass singing. But up the front again, we were able to sing to you. That's fine. Let's sing.
Rejoice, the Lord is King. Give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. I say rejoice. Jesus the Savior reigns. Rejoice. keys of death and hell are to our Jesus King. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say
seated. Well, let us come before our God together as his people, knowing that God is present with his people wherever they gather and his word is preached. Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Together, "Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit." Heavenly Father, as we come to hear your word read to us and preached, we ask that you will speak to us through it as your Spirit guides us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Max is going to come up now and read to us from our Bible reading, Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 25. And inside your news and notes, you'll find that printed out for you. But you can also follow along on the screen.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it wonderful that we can meet again after such a long rest? So I hope you all enjoy it and that we can have a chat afterwards. Thank you for coming along. So today's reading is Luke 1, from 1 to 25. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joyful and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to you to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe in my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Max. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you from your news and notes as we follow along. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us. You'll see there at the beginning of the Luke's Gospel there. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may be certain of the things you have been taught. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Advent, and it's that time of the year when we remember the first and second comings of the Lord. The word Advent actually means coming. The message of Advent is that as sure as Christ came the very first time, he will come a second. The knowledge of such is actually meant to grant us assurance and motivation to live the life we have been granted to live God's way according to his word. And as we do, we remind each other and we're reminded of the certainty of the things we've been taught and to know the reason for their certainty. The sermons over Advent, Christmas, and into the new year, Lord willing, up to and including Easter, will take us to the Gospel of Luke. And I hope that in our Bible study groups and in your individual study of God's Word, we will give ourselves time to think deeply on what could be, for many of us, familiar stories that we may tend to give little time to because of their familiarity. But such events and people we hear of at this time of Advent are to reassure us and help us to know the certainty of the truth of the things we have been taught. And Luke saw fit to remind his readers regarding Jesus and the promise of God in his word. They too had been taught. So may the Lord grant us as we go through these little sermon series, well, they don't seem little, it goes through to Easter, that we may be moved by his Spirit to know that God always keeps his promises, that he cares for us. It's 4 weeks to Christmas. My, how time has flown, hasn't it? The year has just gone so quickly. What preparations have you made or plan to make before the day actually arrives? Maybe you've already bought up all your Christmas gifts online during lockdown, or took advantage of the post-Christmas sales earlier on in the year in January. Maybe each week something is bought for Christmas lunch and the pantry and freezer is starting to look a little full. Maybe you've got on the phone, talked with relatives and worked out who has the joy of hosting the Rels for Christmas lunch this year. Or maybe you've made plans to go away and come back when it's all over. Maybe it's still at the thinking stage and the list of things to do is getting longer and longer. Maybe this year you've planned to invite that neighbour along to Christmas service. Maybe this year you've taken advantage of purchasing food for Toys and Tucker for families that are going without through Anglicares. Thank you for doing so. What preparations have you made or plan to make before the day of Christmas arrives? Whatever we're planning and preparing for, be it for Christmas or something else, our preparations actually say something about us. They say three things. Firstly, important events matter. Secondly, because they matter, they need to be planned well. And thirdly, they say we care. They say we care about the people our plans and preparations are for. Nola and Peter were sister and brother. Their parents had died long ago and neither of them were married and had family. Peter was diagnosed with cancer, and being the only close relative to Peter, Nola took responsibility for Peter's care. For Nola, it meant giving up her full-time job and going to part-time. Trips back and forth to the hospital, good days, bad days. Happy memories and some sad memories. When the time came and Peter died, he died peacefully, with Nola by his side, knowing he was loved. Liam wanted to make the day he proposed to his girlfriend Amy a day she would never forget. He hired a cinema, he made a video clip song of his love for her, invited 50 of their close friends to what Amy thought was a group booking to see a movie. She got the shock of her life when Liam appeared on the screen singing his love song to her and his plans for wanting to marry her. Then the song finished and Liam turned up, took Amy to the front of the cinema, went down on his knees and proposed to her. And of course, Amy accepted. Our plans and our preparations say something about us. They say important events matter. And because they matter, they need to be planned well. But most importantly, they say we care. We care about the people our plans and preparations are for. Events God plans go without saying are important. All God's plans matter to him, and because they matter to him, he plans them well. He prepares for them well. Why? Because he cares for those for whom his plans are for. God's plans are many. In fact, everything we could say, God has his hands somewhere in them with a plan. And as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 28, God's big plan is to work all things out for the good of those who love him. Isn't that great news? The greatest of God's plans was the work he would do for us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What preparations had God made for sending his Son? How does he show us that he cares for us? Well, his plans began with a promise. I've learnt to be careful with making promises, especially around Christmas and to kids. I know that sometimes I can keep a promise, and sometimes I can't keep a promise, or at worst, have forgotten to keep promises. Children don't forget. Adults don't forget. And if you're honest with yourselves, you would say the same about yourselves. Forgetting a promise, or at worst, not keeping a promise, shows for whom the promise was made that we don't care. We don't care for them. They don't matter. But unlike you and me, God always keeps his promises. We can be certain that when God makes a promise, he will keep it. God's big plan in sending Jesus Christ began with a promise. A promise to the man named Abraham many years before. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 8, God made a promise to bless, to bring about the greatest good for all people through a descendant of Abram. That descendant is Jesus. He would be the person through whom God would bless all people by who he is and what he would be sent to do. The time in history for him to come had come. So God prepares his people. And Luke, in his gospel, tells the story so that we who were not there when it all happened can be certain of the things the story tells. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to hear how God prepares his people for Jesus, for his Son, for the Lord, our Saviour. Through ordinary people and through ordinary and extraordinary events. Luke begins the story with an ordinary man and an ordinary woman, his wife, and an ordinary event. The man and his wife were Zechariah, a priest, and his wife, Elizabeth. Like Abram and his wife Sarah before them, they were both very old, and like Sarah, Elizabeth was unable to conceive a child. Look there at verse 7. The ordinary event, the carrying out of the daily sacrifices and prayers in the temple. And on this day, Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the temple and burn incense. It was a special thing to go into the most holy of holy places in the temple to pray and to burn incense. A priest could only do this once in their lifetime. And because we're told he was old in age, he must have been waiting for some time. This was a special occasion. The prayer Zechariah would have been expected to pray was a prayer of thanks on behalf of all the people for God's provision of the daily sacrifice that day, to take away the punishment for their sins, and to commit themselves to humble trust and obedience as they waited for the one God had promised would come, who would take away the sin of the world once and for all. Imagine what it would have been like for Zechariah. For many years, he and those gathered with him, and for many generations prior, they offered the daily sacrifices day in and day out, wondering if the sacrifice was ever sufficient, wondering if their prayer would be answered, longing and waiting for the one who was promised to come. Just imagine how hard it must have been for them to be a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. How easy it would have been for them to doubt if such a one would come, and if their sacrifices that they did day in and day out meant anything. I think we can. It's most likely 3 p.m. in the afternoon. The evening sacrifice has been made. Those gathered are preparing themselves to return home. Another day, another sacrifice. And Zechariah has gone into the temple, placed incense on the altar, and prayed. It's then he hears and sees an angel, and immediately he is afraid. The angel reassures him. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Verse 13. Sadly, I read one commentator saying Zechariah was afraid because he was sprung by God praying for a son in the temple when he should have been praying, thanking God for the forgiveness of sins and coming of the Lord. And naturally, we assume that that was what Zechariah was praying for, a son, and not for the sacrifice. But I don't think so. I don't think, knowing the importance and of such an event, Zechariah would have taken for granted his responsibility that lightly. Nor would have the angel. And besides, if that was what he was praying for, a son, why would Zechariah pray for that to be so when he didn't believe God would do it in verse 18? And we are never told that he and Elizabeth have prayed for a son in the script there, or desired such. But certainly Elizabeth was grateful, verse 25. We just assume he does, because they are old and have no children. Zechariah is afraid because he is in the presence of a messenger from God. And you and I would be too. I believe the prayer the angel means God has heard is the priestly daily prayer for the coming of the one who would take away the sin of the world. God's big plan. Do not be afraid anymore, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. How? Well, the next verse, the next sentence, verse 13 and following, the angel goes in to tell God's plan. He's going to send someone to prepare the world for Jesus. Look there with me. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Luke's gospel is not about individuals to be the center of attention, like Zechariah and Elizabeth and John, but about Jesus. Jesus is to be the center of our attention, the one whom God would send to seek and to save the lost, to remind us that God keeps his promises prepared in advance to be fulfilled, that we may be certain of the things we have been taught regarding Jesus and believe them. Yes, Zechariah's question, verse 18, reveals his disbelief that he will have a son. But the word "this" there is not simply about the son alone. He disbelieves all the good news Gabriel has been sent to announce. The answer of the daily prayer for a saviour to come, that God would keep his promises, verse 20. Of God being able to do so, to be able to fulfil his plans prepared in advance to save mankind, to care for mankind through the one who was promised to come, for whom his son John will point people to. Because of his disobedience, because of his disbelief, he is silenced until a time God would reveal that what he had promised would come true. For unlike you and me, God always will keep his promises. We can be certain that when God makes a promise, he will keep it. Look there at verse 24 and 25. In verse 24, God's plan begins to be fulfilled. Elizabeth conceives. And I take it that their gratitude and joy, Zechariah and Elizabeth, for God keeping his promise, that is of the daily sacrifice, prayer, and of a son, and of Zechariah and Elizabeth's humble respect and obedience for God will be done, is there recorded for the readers in verse 25 by Luke for us to hear. We hear it in mentioning that through grateful and glad about their conception, Elizabeth now chooses to remain in seclusion. She's glad and excited about this, but she remains in seclusion. She hides. For in due time, she wants the one who is to get the attention, Jesus, in mind. God's big plan is sending Jesus, began with a promise. A promise to the man named Abram many, many years before. A promise of a child who would be a blessing to all mankind, to you and to me and to all people. And when God makes a plan, he takes that plan very importantly. He prepares well, because he cares for his people. He cares for you and he cares for me. And he wants to be known as one who keeps his promises. Its fulfillment began with another promise, a promise to Zechariah of a son who would fade off into insignificance and point people to Jesus, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. These things we have been told by Luke, that we may be certain of the things we have been taught. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, it has always been your plan to become one of us in Christ, to save us, and to grant us the certainty of that salvation. Grant us the grace to live accordingly with assurance that as sure as you came the first time to save, you will come a second time. Help us to believe day in and day out and to wait patiently for that fulfillment. We ask these things through Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and with the church past and present, say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed from God's Word. Together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And raise me up to see you face to face. seated. Let us center our thoughts and our hearts on the Lord above. For he is our strength, our refuge. Praise God, whose might is like no other, and whose faithfulness surrounds him. Praise him that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, and that steadfast love and faithfulness go before him. Thank you, O God, for who you are, like no other. That you should give your only Son for us, for people who are so unworthy. Almighty and gracious God, we bring our requests and concerns to you because you hear us. You know our needs, but we still need to come to you because you are the source of everything. We bring before you, O God, our world, your world, and the people caught up in so many disasters, in violence, conflict, chaos, and COVID. We ask, O God, for mercy and for comfort for people in their distress, in their suffering, in their confusion, anxiety, fear, and mourning. We ask for fairness and justice in all countries, especially for those who are in countries where they're dominated. They're exploited, where they are suffering because of people's domination, violence, suppression. O Lord, turn these leaders towards you. Let your Spirit turn their eyes towards you. For in you, you point the way to justice. You point the way to the truth, what is right and what is good. May people turn to you in their situations. Come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Find the true peace in this world. The purity and the righteousness that you are and that you bring. We also think of those who are suffering the effects of COVID. We thank you for people who work so hard in giving us medical breakthroughs and research. We ask that they may be able to find a way to treat and help people, particularly in the new variation of COVID in South Africa, which has surprised so many. You know how to point them in the right direction. You know how to open their minds and bring wisdom and guidance. We also ask for relief for those caught up in famine in quite a lot of countries. In Ethiopia, Yemen, Madagascar, Haiti, Afghanistan, Syria, Angola, Somalia, and North Korea. These lands are really feeling the effects of famine and of lack of food. In their difficulties, O God, we just pray that people will have mercy upon them, that they would have mercy with one another, but above all, that you would show them mercy, O God. May they have provision and relief, particularly children. For Christians in lands, not only who were starving, but all through the Middle East, through spread across the world, Europe, Africa, please grant them provision. And during their difficulties, O God, may they be a light to the people around them, sharing your love, shining for you, so that people would turn and want what they have. We ask for mercy for all, that people will find comfort and knowledge of your compassion in the life of Jesus. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God of power and might, we thank you for the blessings and benefits we have in Australia, which we often take for granted. We ask for help and relief for towns and people in areas where floodwaters are rising. This is yet another difficulty, particularly in regional areas, that they have faced over the past year, 18 months, 2 years. We humbly ask for safety for people. We humbly ask that these people would find help and strength, that all those who supply emergency services would have the facilities and the wherewithal and the guidance and the wisdom needed to help. And we ask for safety for them too. We ask that people would not take unnecessary risks putting their lives and others in dangers, such as driving across a flooded river. We know, Lord, that we can be so foolish. Help people to be wiser and more considerate of the dangers that are around them. We look to you, O God, as we still have the effects of COVID in this land. May people please cooperate with authorities. May they be thoughtful of their response and actions to others around them. Just bring to mind that they are their neighbours. We all have neighbours and friends and family. Help them to be wiser. Help them to look to you. For Lord, they need you more than they realise. May your Holy Spirit enlighten them. As this land is so chaotic now, so many divisions, we ask for your truth to be shining in this land. As this Christmas season unfolds, may people be drawn to the true reason of this season, that opportunities may arise for your people to share your goodwill and purpose for this season. May your church arise, O God, with love, understanding of others, consideration of others. Help us all to be wiser in our faith, that our faith may shine in all across the land. Draw people unto yourself. And we ask this for this land, O God, Australia, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We thank you, O God, for the love and care of so many organisations in this land. We thank you particularly today for Anglicare, and we particularly think of their Toys and Tucker funding. And we ask that gifting may be prosperous, may be overflowing with generosity in donating to this cause, so those less fortunate, Lord, will have food, will be able to celebrate, and that their children will be able to have the joy of Christmas in toys and love and a full belly. But above all, we hope that through this Toys and Tucker, they may understand the love of Christ through Anglicare. We also think of our armed services, Lord. Thank you that your word and message is able to be shared with all involved in the armed services. We thank you for the opportunity of chaplains being able to serve and be servants for you in this situation. We really praise and thank you for their care, for it is something that often we don't think about in this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for those chaplains. We thank you, Lord, that particularly too for Trevor, who also serves with the Army Reserve. For all the Army Reserve and men, Lord, that they may have the opportunity of knowing your comfort through these people. May you give the chaplains wisdom, guidance, and the words to speak at the right time, so that Christ may be known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God of provision and care, as we've heard this morning, our Lord, praise and thank you that you are a God of promise, that you are a God of provision, and you are so faithful and loving towards people. We give you especially thanks for our return to worship here at St. Andrew's, to be able to see one another again and to talk face to face or mask to mask. Thank you for all you have ministered. Thank you to all who have ministered to us, O God, and your provision during this time. And it's a great pleasure to be able to return, O God. Thank you so much. Coming into the season of Jesus' first coming into this world. We thank you for each and every one of the people who've kept this church going for so many years and are doing so now. We thank you for the gifts that you have given us, which only you could give, O God, for we are so weak and helpless. Lord, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. And for those who struggle with health and difficulties in their life, O God, loneliness, grief, recovering from different health situations, who are swallowed up with anxiety and sadness, we pray that you would lift them up by the power of your Spirit, that, Lord, they may be aware of your comfort, that they may be strengthened. And we often think of those who've struggled particularly on an ongoing basis. And of course, we think of Lynn and Graham Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweitzer, Jennifer O'Neill, Brian and Margaret Cave. Lord, we thank you so much for these people. And we also have the others on our hearts, O Lord, that we know. We ask for your comfort for them too. Thank you for Jesus. We can never thank you enough. Praise and honour and glory to him. He is sitting on the throne. He is interceding for us, and we are so thankful. May we here continue to learn, love, and grow like Jesus. Be joyful and prayerful, mindful of who you are, and thankful of what you have given us. Let our light shine so others may be drawn to Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you join with me in a set prayer for today? Let's pray that we may be ready for Christ's coming together. All powerful God, increase the strength of our faith that Christ may find an eager welcome at his coming and call us to his side in the kingdom of heaven, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we come to that time in the service now where we receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ. And we can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on a cross. So in remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus has instituted this holy sacrament, which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we must examine ourselves and amend our lives. We must come with a repentant heart and a steadfast faith. And above all, we must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. You then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God and drawing near with faith, take this holy sacrament to strengthen and comfort you. But first, let us all make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things and you call everyone to account. With shame we confess the sins we have committed against you, in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, strengthen you to do his will, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Apostle John said, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere, it's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator, and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not worthy to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord who always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Come, let us take and eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for you. Preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ's body was broken for you, and be thankful. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let us pray. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Almighty and ever-living God, thank you. Thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, that we are members of his body and heirs through hope of your eternal kingdom. Together, keep us faithful to your Son, and strengthen us by your Spirit to do the good works you have prepared for us to do, for your honour and praise. Amen. Well, it is good to be together again, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is very good. And we're very mindful of those of you who are listening in at home and who are unwell or recovering. We haven't forgotten you. We're mindful. We're sort of with you in spirit, but we look forward to you joining us. And if any of you are listening in that might be thinking about coming and joining this church and learning of Jesus and living life God's way, you are most welcome. And so after the service today, please, if you could leave in an orderly fashion, the back pews first and then out the door to morning tea and then the next pews, like an orderly fashion going out, and just remaining seated up the front until everyone sort of moved out. Please stay for some morning tea. Move out into the playground. It's not raining at the moment. Have some morning tea and continue the fellowship, maintaining that social distance and safety amongst us. Thank you for joining us. There's prayer after church today. If you'd like to share with people, with Tony and Barb, I think it is, thanks Tony, any of the things that you might be happy about or praising God for, and share that with Tony and Barb to pray for, or there might be things that you're concerned about and would like someone else just to know that reassurance that they're praying for you. If you're new or visiting us today, please make yourself known to us.
Please stand and sing with us with your masks on. Thank you.
And all for a thousand.
And oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, musos.